podcast for all things oncology nursing. For even more content, check out oncnursingnews.com or find Oncology Nursing News on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Nearly 20% of patients with cancer engage in non-medical opioid use. A recent study published in JAMA Oncology found certain factors, from symptom scores to marriage status, could be risks for opioid misuse. My name is Brielle Bennion, Senior Editor at Oncology Nursing News. I recently spoke with study author Dr. Sriram Yenu about the findings and what nurses can do to promote effective pain management and safe opioid use.
Just to start, can you tell me a little bit about why it was important to study non-medical opioid use in patients with cancer? Why is this a topic that we should look at?
You know, patients with cancer, especially advanced cancer patients, have a lot of pain. Pain is very complicated because it has a lot of additional components in addition to the nociception or the tumor causing the pain. You know, there is anxiety, there is depression, and there is previous alcohol use and other things. And what we found in our previous research that there is a significant proportion, at least 20 to 25% of the patients who have cancer had a history of either alcohol or any other addictive medication use. And they usually use to help their anxiety, depression, and other symptoms in addition to pleasure. So having a lot of pain in cancer patients, and which is as much as 80%. And the fact that a majority of the cancer patients who have pain seem to be receiving opioids. Now that there is this epidemic of opioid use and opioid addiction, it is a very intuitive thing to learn about how do these patients who not only have cancer but also have a risk of opioid use, behave, and what are the complications, what are the consequences, how can we help them? So that is the basic motivation why we are doing this research.
So tell me a little bit about the factors that you looked at and which were indicative of potential non-medical opioid use.
So historically, our department, especially those from supportive care, are very much involved in the patient experience, patient's quality of life. So we do manage pain. So we do a very systematic approach to take care of these patients. We have a checklist of things to look for in the history, in the examination, in the management. And being opioids being the major intervention, we really look into various factors which make them at risk of misuse. And so we really looked into the patient's history in terms of the demographics. And the prior studies in our patients showed that if you have, if you are, for instance, married, and for instance, if you have single status, then you are at risk. If you are belonging to certain racial groups, such as African American groups, they are at risk. And then if you are more of a younger age, you are at risk. So in addition to these demographic characteristics, certain cancers have higher risk. For instance, if somebody has GYN, like cervical cancer or head and neck cancer, they are high at risk. So this is based on our prior studies and from other studies, from other teams. And we did definitely look into that. In addition to that, we do a screening for alcoholism called the CAGE questionnaire, and also look for opioid use behaviors using a SOAP questionnaire, which is a validated tool. And in addition to that, we definitely looked into the medication use, the type of medications, for instance, whether it is a short-acting or long-acting medication, or the dose of the medication of the opioids, whether it is a higher strength or a lower strength. And the other important characteristic we do is routine screening of symptoms, like if they have pain, anxiety, depression, we look into those things. And then the other thing is the outcomes we looked into. One is that how often they come to the ER, how often they come and get admitted, how often they do the phone calls to the clinic. And, you know, similar other outcomes in terms of various things like survival characteristics. And we then kind of added this into the whole model to really look into that. And when we just used the validated screening tool as an outcome measure, we did find 20% of the patients have an increased risk of opioid misuse in our previous study, which was published in Cancer. But still, there was something missing because the questionnaire, what we did is self-report. Sometimes they may not really give you the right answer. So we wanted to see the behaviors. And when I say behaviors, is those important characteristics that they exhibit when we ask questions in the clinic. And like we wanted to look at, are they requesting a specific type of opioids? Are they seeking opioids from multiple physicians? It's called as doctor shopping. And are they coming to the ER frequently? Are they calling the clinic or coming to the clinic more more frequently or asking inappropriately when they are not due for their medication? Are they telling, giving reports that they have stolen, their medications have been stolen or lost? Or are they having these medications change more higher dose to more frequently? Are they hoarding their medication? Are they reporting that they are somebody stealing or are they also obtaining medication from other sources other than the physicians? And are the families kind of worried or concerned about the patient's opioid use? We also are looking at, is this opioids making them less functional? Are they requesting opioids for not just pain, but, you know, in case they want to take the opioids for sleeping because they are unable to sleep, or they are using the opioids for anxiety? So there are these 14 different opioid misuse behaviors that have been documented and validated in the literature. And we looked those of them specifically. And when we did look into that, we found that 19%, that is approximately one in five patients, have a risk of opioid misuse behavior. You know, they have these behaviors, which is kind of interesting, but also worrisome. And that, you know, these patients require a whole separate different methodology of managing these patients. Not that we should deny them any opioids because they have pain, but we need to monitor them more closely. So that's the whole idea of doing this study.
So having unscheduled calls or visits to, I guess, request more opioids happen far more frequently than all the other behaviors. Do you have an idea of why this was the most frequent behavior that you saw?
The thing is that it is very difficult to assess other behaviors because sometimes they may not self-report, and this is more objective behavior. Inappropriate refills are that we can really see them documenting. So there is definitely something we need to investigate further, because this is an objective behavior, whereas reports of other inappropriate behaviors can only be documented when the patient reports it or the family reports it. So that could be one possibility. But this is definitely something we want to further explore upon. And why is this more common, or why is this? Because this is the only way they can get opioids, is asking for opioids more. They cannot steal from us or do something. So I'm not sure. We need to further investigate why this is particularly common. But there are different hypotheses, as I said, because this is more objective. We could examine that. And the others could not be clearly documented very well. Okay.
What can oncology nurses do with these patients to hopefully prevent non-medical opioid behavior?
I think the first thing is definitely this information what we provided points to the fact that, you know, you need to screen or you need to really ask questions to really find out. Unless you do that, you know, definitely look for the screening for symptoms. For instance, we found that those who have higher pain are at risk of opioid misuse. So that's one thing, you know, you need to use a validated tool to check their pain. The other thing is that you need to see if they are using opioids. You need to check the data, the registry for the opioid use in the state and see where are they getting the opioids from. You know, are they getting from one source or multiple sources? So that is very important. And the other important thing is that, you need to use some kind of a questionnaire to screen for opioid misuse. We use the questionnaire called the SOAP questionnaire. The others use opioid misuse questionnaire, ORT questionnaire. So there are various questionnaires you can use. So I think the bottom line is to ask or screen better. That's the first basic thing. And if you find any ways or suspect anything, it is true. You know, most likely a suspicion is always having some validity to it. So you need to further investigate. And the best thing you can do is to help the patient. And the best way to help the patient is to follow up the patient more frequently and give small amount of opioids so that is available for the next visit rather than give a opioids that are there for 1 month or 2 months where, you know, it is very difficult to monitor and the patient may misuse and may ask the medication earlier. So a short prescription, a frequent follow-up, I think those are the first important things. In addition to that, help the patient by providing counseling and other resources for them to be taking care of themselves and also their families.
Thanks for listening to this episode of The Vitals. Be sure to never miss a beat with Oncology Nursing News.